today. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, all ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea thereof roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. Our God is an awesome God. And I've got to say to y'all, it sure is good to see your faces. It's been hard to preach to a camera, so it is good to see you this morning. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, we just thank you for this glorious day. And Lord, I'm reminded of what David said. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, Lord, you've made our hearts glad this morning because we are back where we belong. We are back in the house of the Lord. Father, may the voices ring with worship and praise today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Brother Marty.
If you'll stand, please, let's sing number 224. We are standing on holy ground. Seven, please, if you have it. Blessed Redeemer, for our sins he suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior.
liveth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming
over the world victorious, power and glory
unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
Now, if you take a moment just to greet each other, you can do it by elbow, you can do it by wave, whatever you want to do, it doesn't matter. Just as long as you greet somebody. First, just without the piano, without anything, we're just going to sing it. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. You'll be seated, please, okay?
That's right, you got something to do.
It's all right, he's not used to that, okay?
Thank you.
right. While you've been away, I have had to learn to take direction. Randy tells me when I'm allowed to talk, when I'm allowed to move. And Marty's been here to give me lots of instructions. I appreciate that. Let me ask you to take your Bibles this morning. I'm going to have you turn to two places. The first is the 136th Psalm. And the other would be Acts 16. And I'll ask that you turn to both places and mark them. And we're going to begin in the 136th Psalm here this morning. Because there's something here in the 136th Psalm that we need to be reminded of. And I'm only going to read the first five verses here in the 136th Psalm. So if you're there, you can say amen. The word of our Lord says unto us from the 136th Psalm, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. Now let me ask you, what is the common theme running in all five of those verses? His mercy endures forever. Amen. And friends, we need to hold on to that truth, especially in the day in which we're living. The mercy of the Lord endures forever. Despite what is taking place in America today, know this, though the days of our nation may be dark, the mercy of our Lord endures forever. We are back together again in the place called church because the mercy of the Lord endures forever. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Isn't it great to be in the Lord's house this morning? Amen. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, we thank You once again for this day. Father, we cannot praise You enough for Your mercy, for Your grace, for the outpouring, Lord, of what I will term Your abundant mercy. Lord, You have been so merciful unto us, and we just praise the name of Jesus here this morning. Oh, Lord, I pray as Your Son Christ often prayed this morning as I preach, O Lord, may we have an ear that hears. Let us not have an ear where the message would go through one ear and right out the other, but Lord, let us have an ear that will allow Your word to get down into our heart where it will do us the most good, and may we profit from it this morning. Lord, in these challenging times, we need Your word for us to enable us to remember all that You have set before us, that we are together on one glorious mission. And Lord, when we all get to the end, we want to hear those words from our Savior's lips. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Allow me to ask you to turn in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, and be finding the 16th verse. And I'm going to ask you something I've not been able to ask you for a while, and that is to rise as we honor the Lord with a reading of His Word. I think while you were at home, I asked you to sit up in the easy chair, but today I'm going to ask you to get on your feet. Acts 16, beginning in verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. But this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You may be seated. This passage of Scripture gives to us six spiritual truths that are absolutely vital, that will help us in these troubling times in which we live. They'll not only help us in the troubling times in which we're living, but friends, it will also enable us to climb to new heights, to grow in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that we're gathered here again is proof positive that God is not through with us yet, and we need to be praising God in these dark times surrounding us, because His mercy endures forever. Beyond that, no matter how dark the times are around us, God is still in control. Though your world may seem like it is out of control, all we need to do is look up and praise God. God is in control, and thank God Jesus is coming soon. But we're still here. And as a church, we need to be on mission with our Lord. We need to be on mission perhaps as we've never been before. I don't think there's ever been a time in my lifetime, and mind you, I know I'm older than some of you, but I'm only 36. But I don't think there's ever been a time in my lifetime when the days have seemed so dark. But rest assured, God is in control, and the best is yet to come. Right now, we can be thanking God for the truth of His Word and the truth that He is about to give us. We may be in a low valley nationally speaking, but we can be climbing the mountains with Jesus Christ every single day. Amen. Oh, it's time to embrace what God has for us this morning. I hope your heart is ready. It's time to get ready. It's time to be ready. It's time to stay ready, ever ready to be the feet and the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world around us. Friends, we must understand the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And oh, how Psalm 136 reminds us of the great things that God does to a people and a church who are filled with faith and hope. I hope that your heart is filled with faith and hope. The Psalm reminds us that when what we hope for will not go unfulfilled, for we have a great and a powerful God who loves us, and He loves to bless us when we accept His challenge to grow. And this pandemic has sure forced us to grow in some ways we never expected. Amen. So if we're to climb with Jesus, if we're to grow in our faith with Jesus, if we're to be on mission with Jesus, then the very first thing that God needs you and I to understand this morning is we can depend on God in challenging situations. Now, I'm positive that by now in your lifetime, you have discovered that being a child of God, whether you minister in your home or in your community, at your workplace, or in the church, being a minister of God presents many challenging situations. And one of the things that I've come to understand through many a year is that we aren't capable of handling these challenges in our own strength. In fact, I believe when we fail in our mission and ministry, whether it's in our home or whether it's in our workplace, our community, or even in the church, it's quite often because we have done just that. We've relied upon our own strength. And I want you to note here in verses 16 to 18 in the text that we've read this morning, I want you to note the Bible says Paul and Silas, they're on a mission, and their mission is to pray. Now, I don't know about you, but I find it very encouraging whenever I come across in the Bible the saints of old and to know that they were prayer warriors. Family and friends, how's your prayer life? Are you growing in prayer? Are you being challenged in prayer? Are you praying? You see, they were on a mission, and we need to be encouraged. Their example proves to us that prayer is most essential ingredient needed when faced with a challenging situation. Family and friends, what is your one call in the home? What is your one call in the workplace? What is your one call in the community or in the church that distinguishes you as a true child of God? Is it not to pray? And I find it interesting that that which is most important is often squeezed out under the tyranny of the urgent. Isn't it true that oftentimes we'll allow the devil's distractions to tear us away from that which is most needful? There has never been a time in our nation that is more needful for God's people to be on their knees in the attitude and bowing in prayer. What's going to make America great again? It's going to be prayer. The church must pray. Whenever we fail in challenging situations to cast all our cares upon God, we're hindered in our mission for what God has called us to do. Paul and Silas, they're hindered in their mission here in what God has called them to do. They're on their way to spend time with God in prayer to seek the Lord's will regarding their mission objectives. Now we find very quickly that whenever God's people set out to pray, Satan always seems to get in the way. And so we have here a damsel with a devil who tries and distract them from their purpose. And friends, what we need to understand is that there have always been those who thought they could predict the future through various methods. And in that particular era, Greek and Roman culture, fortune telling was a common practice. And the text here says Paul was grieved. I want you to note something here. What the damsel with the devil was saying about these men was not untrue. What she was saying was true. Paul and Silas were God's chosen men, and as such, they knew the way to salvation in Jesus Christ. But Paul's grief was that her knowledge of the facts didn't come from God, but they came from Satan himself. And therefore, if Paul allowed her to continue to speak out, to continue to shout out, he would be accepting the devil's words and be linking them with the gospel, be linking the gospel with demon-related activity. And this reminds me the way many churches have chosen to do business in recent times. Far too many churches today look like the world, and we do not look near enough like Jesus Christ. Too many are living by an anything goes mentality, and you may not like hearing that this morning, and that's all right. But friends, we're never going to reach the world for Jesus Christ until we begin to live and act out the truths that are in God's holy word in our daily lives. This is the word of God, and there is none other. This is the word. We don't ask God to get his life in line with us, friend. We're to get our lives in line with God. Amen. So it is an impossibility to accomplish the will of God if we don't adhere to the word of God. You know, this tells me two things about the Apostle Paul. Two things that I find very encouraging. Matter of fact, I think there are two things that are necessary for every man, woman, and child of God, and for every church of God. First of all, Paul was a man of prayer. We've already established that. But also, he was a man of principle. And his principles were developed by the Word of God. Here before us on the pages of God's Word is a man who knows and understands the mission that God has called him to. And friends, family and friends, if we're going to reach the world for Jesus Christ, if we're going to climb and grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, we better come to the conclusion very quickly that prayer is the key to depending upon God in challenging situations. Now, I don't know what challenging situation you may be facing today, but this one thing I do know. The Bible encourages us to cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. I pray that you're depending on God. There's a second truth that we need to know, and that is God strengthens our hands to do His work. Friends, we're not strong enough in our own strength to do the work of ministry by ourselves. And there have been times in every church and in every life, your life, my life, when we thought we could handle it on our own. Amen? The reality is we soon discovered that we cannot. And perhaps this little couplet will help us in the future. When I try, I fail. When I trust, He succeeds. There's a lot of theology in there, isn't it? And not until you or I have that issue settled in our own heart can we ever truly be used by God. Imagine what would have happened here if Paul had relied on his own wisdom and on his own strength. But praise God, he didn't. Paul was a man on mission. His mission was prayer. Here was a man who trusted in God. He was not leaning upon his own understanding. Family and friends, that's how he knew that something was amiss. How often do we go through life and, you know, things don't quite seem right, but we're not certain that there's something amiss. Paul understood there was something amiss. And once the issue was settled of his grief, he was free to boldly turn to the damsel with the devil and tell her to be quiet, to come out of her. And this teaches us an important truth. To do God's work, you have to rely on God. Listen, not only are we not strong enough, we also aren't smart enough to do God's work. That's why prayer is the key to finding God's will and discovering the work that He wants us to do. Prayer is our sustenance. It is our lifeline. It is our recognition that our need is not partial, friend. It is absolutely total. I don't know how anybody makes it through a day without prayer. Boy, how we need to pray. Don't ever allow the devil to fool you into believing that you can accomplish, that you can manage your life, that you can accomplish whatever ministry God has given unto you without prayer. Oh, how we need prayer. It is prayer that enables us to pray like Jesus in the garden. Oh, not my will, Lord, but thine be done. Thine be done. There's a third truth that God needs us to know this morning, friend, and that is the strength to serve comes from worship. I want you to know when the masters of the damsel saw they were no longer going to be able to profit by exploiting her, they had Paul and Silas arrested. Now, I'm certain, maybe it's not gotten to that point in your life, but I'm certain you've tried to be faithful in your ministry, no matter what that ministry might be, as a parent, as an employee, as someone who serves here at the church. And no doubt that you've discovered whenever you seek to minister, there comes persecution. There are those who will fight against you, who will speak all manner of falsehood about you, who will rail against you, who will seek to try to get you to give up and quit. And unfortunately, sometimes the devil even places his minions in the church. And family and friends, listen to me. Sometimes the devil comes from without, and sometimes the devil comes from within, in far more homes and far more workplaces and far more churches have been destroyed by the devil within than the devil without. Let this be a lesson to us as we think about this, to guard that thing that is most precious to us, our heart, to guard our heart. Set a guard at the door of our heart and of our mind, and do not give the enemy a foothold. Listen, what you hear, what you see, and what you say. Oh, we need to have guards over all of those places, lest we bring shame upon that glorious name. And I also don't want you to despair, for not every right decision you make is going to be accepted by the world standards. And to that I give a hearty amen. Praise the Lord that we can live differently. Praise the Lord that we can be salt and light. Praise the Lord that we can shine this word into the lives of people. Oh, what a privilege that God has given with us. And beyond that, I want you to remember this. Hey, when someone criticizes you, just say amen. After all, friends, crows only pick at the best fruit. Don't mind them at all. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Isn't that what the Word says? Philippians 4 and 4. Rejoice. And again I say rejoice. And don't quit, but persist. Press on in Jesus' name, because that's exactly what we find Paul and Silas doing. I don't know if it's dawned upon you yet, but as you have gone through this pandemic, you have had to be resilient. You have had to get up. You have had to have hope. You've had to put one foot in the front of the other, and you have had to go on every single day until this day. This day we get to rest in church, but when we leave here, it's time to be resilient again. Don't give up. Don't quit. Persist. Press on in Jesus' name, because that's exactly, again, what Paul and Silas are doing. I want you to note something here. They've been whipped. They've been beaten. And they've been thrown into prison. But no, they didn't let them stop them from worshiping God, did it? I mean, some people stop worshiping God, they get a hangnail. But these guys, they've been beaten. And I want you to know what happened. Scripture says about the midnight hour, they began to sing and praise God. Can you just imagine the power of their witness to those other prisoners, but to the jailer? Why did they go through what they went through? Because God needed to save a jailer and his family. They endured it, and they praised God. And friends, the other prisoners had to be thinking, how can these men be singing and shouting hallelujah in the inner prison? They're in stocks, they're bleeding, they're beat up, and they're praising God. Come on now. I want you to know there is no fear when the King is worshipped, because greater is He that is in you than he who is in this world. And don't you ever forget that, family and friends. Greater is He who is in you than this old devil down here in this world. Worship brings out a sustenance. Worship brings out resiliency. Worship brings fortification to your heart and your soul. And listen, if we'll set our hearts to live out these first three truths, we'll discover we're on mission with God, and we're well equipped to give encouragement, to strengthen others, and also point them to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. This, in turn, will help us to be growing and climbing with Jesus. The brothers in our text, they began to sing, didn't they? In God in heaven, can you just imagine that? There they are in the prison. They're beginning to sing. I don't know, maybe they sang Praise Him, Praise Him. Maybe they sang Jesus Loves Me. Maybe they were singing Amazing Grace. I have no idea what they were singing. But I'm certain of one thing, that God in heaven heard it. And I believe that God in heaven called the holy angels around. He said, hey, y'all, get on over here and listen to this. And they all came over and they listened to that. And all of a sudden things began to shake. All of a sudden a great earthquake came. And I just imagine what was going on. That earthquake shook the jailhouse off its foundation. Listen, if your heart is set on God, if God is your all in all, I'm convinced that you will not be defeated no matter what your circumstances are in life and no matter what is thrown at you in life, because God is in charge, God is in control, and God is greater than our circumstances. The brothers in our text overcame their circumstances because they remained enthusiastic about their God. How's your enthusiasm when it comes to God? How many of you at one time or another, maybe you're even that way right now, during this pandemic you grew discouraged. You grew a little bit despondent. I want you to know some of every Christian at one time or another is growing discouraged and despondent, but these men had every right to grow discouraged and despondent. Here they were trying to pray, trying to do good for God, and they're beaten and they're whipped and they're put in prison. But they didn't allow their circumstances to dampen their enthusiasm. And we cannot allow our circumstances in this world to dampen our enthusiasm for the Lord Jesus Christ. They are singing and they are praising. And what a wonderful message to us right there. I hope that the next time that you are faced with a tough situation, when your spirit gets a little bit down, that you begin to look up and you'll begin to sing and you'll begin to praise God and you'll begin to thank God, because life is tough and we all know that. And friends, when things get tough, we need to know we're not to fold our tent up, we're not to quit, we're not to give up and give in. No siree. The key is to rejoice by choice. God is on His throne and Jesus Christ is coming soon. So no matter what your circumstances are, rejoice. The key is to trust in God and to serve Him with all your heart and all your soul. And then that last and final truth, the sixth one, is this. God will sustain you through life's challenges. You know, the brothers in our text here, they're faced with some tough choices in life. And you and I are oftentimes faced with some tough choices, aren't we? How many of you would agree with this? Life isn't easy, is it? By golly, I must be talking to a dead crowd this morning. I think I'm still in here by myself. But y'all say amen on the live stream. Life isn't easy. There are some tough choices that we need to make. And you know, for the Christian, many times the choices aren't between what is bad and what is good. They're between what is good and what is best. And to make the right choice means we've got to be a people of prayer. Paul and Silas have been persecuted, they've been beaten, they've been thrown into prison because of the choices that they made. And if we're to reach the community for Christ, if you're to reach your family for Christ, if you're to be the light and the salt of this earth, you and I are going to have to be as willing as Paul and Silas were to risk it all for Jesus' sake. They didn't allow fear of circumstances to cause them to quit or to lose enthusiasm for the mission. Instead, they trusted God to provide for their needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You might be wondering, how could they do this when everything seems so stacked against them? And I find four answers very quickly. First, they sought Christ's righteousness, not their own. In other words, they understood life is about Jesus. It's not about me. Never been about me. It's about pointing the way home. Second, they filled their thoughts with His desires, not their own. I think it's high time in this old world today that a whole lot of people the world over get over themselves and start putting Jesus first. Amen. And then third, they patterned their lives after the life of Jesus, who said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And then four, they served and obeyed Him in everything because of time spent in prayer. And the result was God used these two to shake up their world right where their world was and to turn it upside down. You know, a prayed up saint is more powerful than any ploy or circumstance the devil can throw at him. And I believe, family and friends, just as in Paul and Silas' day, so it is in our day. God is looking for culture-confronting, mission-mobilizing people who desire nothing but God and hate nothing but sin, where God can be most glorified in us because we have come to that place where we want nothing but to be about the Father's business. And family and friends, you can trust God not only for His direction, but for the desire as well when you spend time in prayer. As this church moves beyond the pandemic, God wants us to rest in the knowledge that His mercy endures forever. And now more than ever, all Christian soldiers need to step up as we witness what is taking place on the streets of this great nation. It is time for every Christian soldier to step up and man their post and shine the light of God's love into this world, all the while trusting that He is more than enough to meet our every need. Family and friends, we're living in fearful times, there's no doubt about it. But just as God was more than enough in Paul and Silas's day, God is more than enough in our day as well. You know, the story is told of a church member whose church had been going through a rough patch. The church had lost its desire to reach out and to share the gospel. The church had somehow just lost sight of its mission. And so this church member, after his church was over on Sunday, he took a walk, and instead of going home, he came upon another church that was still having church. It was a church where the windows were open, and the preacher would sing his sermon, and the congregation would respond in kind. And so this church member, who was so discouraged, just leaned on an old windowsill. I just picture somebody leaning on one of ours this morning if the windows were open. And the preacher, he looked over his congregation. He looked over to the left side of his pulpit. And over there was all the deacons sat. And the pastor said, "Hey, brother deacon, where do you find God?" And all the deacons came back singing, "We don't know, preacher, won't you please tell us?" And then he looked over on the right side where all the ladies were sitting, and he said there, "Hey, sisters, tell me, where do you find God?" And all those lovely ladies looked back and sang, "We don't know, preacher, won't you please tell us?" And then he looked into the back where all those men were sitting, and he said, "Hey, brothers, tell me, where do you find God?" All them brothers sitting in the back looked up front, and they said, "We don't know, preacher, won't you please tell us?" Then that old preacher, he just happened to look back, and he saw that brother leaning in that window. And he said, "Hey, brother, tell me, where do you find God?" And that brother was so discouraged. And he said, "You know, at that minute, I didn't know where to find God." So he said, "I just said to that preacher, 'I don't know, preacher, won't you please tell us?'" And that preacher said, took a step back from the pulpit, and he said, "You find God when He is all that you know, and He is all that you trust, and He's all that you hope for, and He's all that you love. Then you will find that He is all that you need." God is all that we need. Listen to me. When we begin to live for that reason and that reason alone, what's taking place on the streets of America will no longer be taking place on the streets of America. There are things that need to be addressed in our nation for certain. But it isn't going to be addressed in the way it's being addressed. It'll be addressed when I love someone enough and you love someone enough. And we go and we walk in their shoes. And we tell them about Jesus Christ who loves red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Great message today for the church in these dark days is to take the love of Jesus Christ and spread it in this world. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word unto us today. And oh Lord, how we need to be about our Father's business. Father, how we need to get over ourselves. And Father, yes, even perhaps over some of our own prejudices. Lord, perhaps it's time we begin to pray and to call upon You and to say, not my will, but Thine be done. Lord, I'm reminded how the Lord Jesus came down from heaven on high and He walked in my shoes. He understood my frame. He understood my failings. He understood my thoughts. He understood my actions. He understood my words. And He forgave me. And oh Lord, I'm so thankful to know there's someone who took the time to understand me and someone who took the time to take my sin and to wash it away through His precious blood on the cross. And right now, oh Lord, oh nation over, You are judging this nation today because of our collective failure in every race to understand that in Jesus Christ there is love and there is mercy and there is forgiveness and there is unity. For all men, no matter the color, no matter the nationality, we all bleed but one, red. And Lord, You bled red for us from the cross that You might heal us, that You might forgive us, that You would show us the true meaning of love. Lord, You gave Yourself for us, and Lord, help us to get back to that point where we are willing to give ourselves unto another. Let God be all that we need. And let the mission of Jesus Christ ring not only from this pulpit in this church and into this community, but into the streets of America, whether rural or city or inner city. And Lord, we pray, Thy will be done. In Christ's name, amen. Brother Marty's going to come and lead us in an invitational hymn. And if God is calling you this morning, you come. Maybe you're here this morning and you've not yet received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today is a wonderful day to do that. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. Maybe you're just thankful to be back in church. This front pew is open for the elderly if they want to come and be able to sit. But maybe you just want to come and thank God. Maybe there's something on your heart. I don't know. God knows. Maybe God's calling you to become a member of this church. I don't know. God knows. But I'm going to be here to pray with you if you want me to. But as we stand and sing, I pray that your prayer is this, oh Lord, let your will be done in my life, both now and forever. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing. Brother Marty, lead us away.
Just a
Ask you, is there somebody lost in your family today? Is there somebody who's been heavy upon your heart? Someone that you're worried about? Would you come and pray for them today? Would you pray for God to do in their life what only God can do? You come this morning as we sing.
Just
going to tarry the invitation, but I am going to ask you, if you are an American citizen, if you're concerned about the world, that perhaps not so much that we're going to grow up in, because some of us have done growed up, but the world of your children and your grandchildren and what we notice taking place, I wonder what God might do if we were compelled to pray. So we're going to just sing one more verse, either right where you're at or you can come to the altar. But it is time to pray for America. Listen, I've never been black and I never will be. I don't know what it's like to walk in those shoes. I don't know what it's like to be Spanish. I don't know what it's like to be looked down upon. But I do know this. Every one of us is blessed abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. And friends, it's near and dear to my heart. It's time to start having some right kind of conversations. The days for speeches and all those things is over. It is time to meet one another right where we're at. So if you're concerned about that, it's time to pray. It's time to see God move in America again. It's time for God to turn us that we might truly be saved. It's time to make America great again, and it's only going to get great when we pray. Let us, one more verse, Marty.
Just
thank you for being here today. Brother Trey, I have no idea where that green microphone is, so if you would go on up to that one and close us in prayer, I'd appreciate it.